listening to Sister Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM, bringing the issues of youth in and from care, from their lives to your minds.
Hello and welcome. We are so glad to be with you again this afternoon. My name is Marie and I'm joined with Faith.
Hello.
And we are bringing you System Kids here on CKUW 95.9 FM. System Kids is a program of Voices, Manitoba's Youth and Care Network, of which I am a proud member of. And of course, every young person who is in or from care, you are automatically a member of the Youth and Care Network, even if you didn't know it yet. But now you know. You have a whole family, if you want them, of folks who've been there and who get it. So if you want to ever get a hold of Voices and find out what other good stuff they've got going on, you can reach out to them at 204-982-4956 or toll-free anywhere in Manitoba, 1-866-982-4956. Their office is located at the 61 Juno Street on the third floor, and they are all over the internet. So you can send an email, ask@voices.mb.ca, on Instagram, Facebook, and X, all variations of Voices, M-Y-I-C-N. So find them online, stay up to date on how you can stay involved with your network.
Okay, and there are 4 Manitoba Moose tickets. 1 second. With the icebreaker. I'm always skipping ahead.
We have to be gently easing into these conversations, Faith.
Straight to the tickets. Just excited about the hockey game. That's right. We're going to go into our icebreaker. The icebreaker today is, what is the favorite gift that you have given somebody? Marie, would you like to share with us?
Sure. You know, I was thinking about this the other day when my oldest boy was turning either 11 or 12. He said he loved chocolate cake. And I was like, oh, man. And we had no money. So I'm like, how do I make sure he has a chocolate cake? So this was maybe early Google or pre-Google, but somehow I found a recipe for chocolate cake, and I slaved at this cake. Like, it had shaved chocolate and all this kind of stuff, this whole method, and I made him this chocolate cake for his birthday. I tell you, this boy did not eat a bite of that cake.
What? What happened to the cake?
Nothing. He just was like, I guess he was having such a good time otherwise, he didn't eat any cake.
Oh, no.
So, but it was still my favorite because I just remember how good it felt to, like, I was looking forward to seeing him enjoy this cake. I was looking forward to him being like, the chocolate cake of my dreams.
Well, you know what they say. It's the journey, not the destination.
Yes, yes.
The real gift was you making the cake. Aw, that's adorable, though.
But how about for you? What's a favorite gift that you have given?
The favorite gift that I have given would have to have been a homemade chessboard. I did not make it.
Oh.
But it was made by someone else that I gifted to my partner for his birthday. When him and I were first talking to each other, mm-hmm. playing chess online was something that connected us pretty mm-hmm. good. And I had a marble chessboard at home that we had played on a few times. I'm like, I'm going to get this guy a chessboard. I don't even think we've played a game on that chessboard, though.
No.
So it's like the chocolate cake. It's like this great idea,
yeah.
But it doesn't get utilized. But it's hanging around. We often play chess online. But yeah, I was pretty happy. I felt like that was a pretty special gift. There was a lot of thought into it.
Yes, yeah. I'm so glad to hear that you play chess, though, because I've always wanted to play chess. When I was in high school, I wanted to be part of the chess club. But I was really, really shy, and I just couldn't put myself in the room to play chess. And I didn't actually learn how to play chess until, like, 2 Februaries ago when I went to visit my younger boy. He lives in the States now. And the bed and breakfast where I was staying, they had this beautiful table that has a chessboard in the tabletop mm-hmm. and all these beautiful pieces. And so finally, one afternoon, my boy came over and we played chess. We played chess for like 4 or 5 hours and didn't even notice the time going by.
Chess bender.
Yes. I'm a little skeptical because I always think he's going to teach me, like, not the real game. But I think he taught me the real game. So it was so much fun, and it was like, oh, finally, lifelong dream. So now one day we'll have to go play chess somewhere.
Definitely. Chess is such a beautiful game. Mm-hmm. I love it.
So we're going to take a quick look at Voices calendar. And again, this is your network. If you are a young person in or from care, age 14 to 24, age 12-ish to 30-ish. What was I thinking? 14 to 24. If you are a young person in or from care, age 12-ish to 30-ish, you are welcome to participate in the network in the way that really suits you. And you can call them and get more information about anything that you hear here or if you have any questions. So December, the leadership team is meeting. Now they have a lot of projects going on and they would love to see new faces starting in January. Not right now. Right now they're wrapping up their current year, and in January they'll be starting new projects. So around about the third week of January is when they will be welcoming new leadership team members. If you want to practice your leadership skills, maybe you're a good speaker, or you are really helpful, or you just are an ideas person and you just want to be around other people and grow these ideas into reality, there is room for you to bring your skills and see how you can flourish. So give them a call and learn more about joining the Voices leadership team around the third week of January. We've got some tickets for the Manitoba Moose game this month. It's December 20th, and usually about a week before the game, so that would be probably later this week. Voices will put out a social media post asking for folks to express an interest if they want 2 tickets each, one for you, one for a friend. And so you can put your name in the hat and be eligible to win some tickets to the Manitoba Moose versus Rockhead Ice Hogs. We are getting ready for the 18th annual Voices Family Christmas Party, which is held every year on Christmas Day. So if you are a young person in or from care, if you are a child in care living in an emergency placement resource, if you are an alumni of care who's already moved on your own, but Christmas with Voices has become your tradition, we look forward to celebrating with you. And all you need to do is call Voices. Daniel and Lynn are there to take down your name and your contact information, and then we will look forward to celebrating Christmas Day with you. So again, if you want any information on anything on the Voices calendar, give them a call, 204-982-4956. Send them an email, ask at voices.mb.ca, and they can fill you in on all the details. One special thing to remember, because of the Canada Post strike right now, you may not have received your employment and income assistance benefits for this month. If you're wondering, where is it? There's a possibility that it's waiting for you to come and pick it up. So call your worker or call one of the service centers, and they can let you know where you should be going to pick up your benefits. The Service Center for Employment Income Assistance is 204-948-2888. And the Service Center for the Manitoba Supports for Persons with Disabilities is 204-948-6773. Give them a call, let them know your name, and they will tell you where you should be going to pick up your December benefits. All right, that's it for our calendar.
Amazing. Thanks, Marie. That will take us into our rights highlight. Today we're going to be going over Article 6 of the United Nations Conventions on the Right of the Child, and that is that every child has the right to be alive. Governments must make sure that children survive and develop in the best possible way. Article 6 of the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People: every Indigenous individual has the right to a nationality. So, why are these rights important? How do they impact youth in care? Well, these rights speak to the role of government as duty bearers to ensure that you have everything you need to grow and develop to your best potential, including knowledge and understanding of your nation you belong to. Even when you are not living with your family, and especially when you're not living with your family, you have the right to be provided with what you need and to be protected from things and people who would harm you, and to be supported to participate in activities that can help you grow and develop to your best potentials. Rights are interconnected, and always remember your four B's. You have the right to be healthy, be safe, be heard, and be yourself.
Awesome. I love talking about rights. So, like, the rights highlight is my favorite.
So important to talk about the rights.
Right, because if you don't know your rights, you're more at risk of having your rights compromised, and that is not the life we want for you.
Right.
So become a rights nerd and just start Googling all about your rights, okay?
Oh, 100%. Okay. It'll only help you.
It'll only help you. So now we're going to listen to our first song break. This is Sturdy Woman by Sean Burns. And you say he's a Manitoba artist, eh?
He is. The band Lost Country. I've seen them perform a few times live as well. Very, very amazing band. So I hope that you enjoy.
Hey, Sturdy Woman. Welcome back to System Kids. My name is Marie. I'm here with Faith, and we are here to bring the issues and youth of young issues and concerns of youth in and from care from our lives to your minds. It's definitely been an honor and a privilege to be able to share from like a lived expert experience what it's like to be a part of the child welfare system, whether as a child or as a young adult or even as an adult now working in the system.
Absolutely. And there's so much power in just sharing stories, whether that's someone hearing yours, listening to someone else's. It's extremely healing. Very, very happy to be on this platform and get to speak to all of you.
Yeah, and there's a lot of healing that comes from sharing your story as well. So if you are a young person in or from care and you would like to learn the art of sharing your story in a safe way, we would love to support you to learn how to do that and to have you as a guest host or a guest storyteller here on the show. Just reach out to Voices and they will get you started on that process. Mm-hmm. All right, so community connection. This week we are so glad to bring to you information about the Empowerment Expo, which is coming up in January. Empowerment Expo, Navigating Your Future with CSA Settlements. And if you've been hearing on the news, CSA means Children's Special Allowance, and they will be distributing the money that was meant for children and youth in care who were in care from 2005 to 2019. They will be returning that money back to those young adults, those children, youth, and young adults, because over that period of time, it wasn't being given to the kids. It was being clawed back. And so, thankfully, now the tables have been righted, and that money will be coming back to children, youth, and young adults. But that's a lot of money to think about all at the same time. So a few community partners, Voices, Futures Forward, Reach Community Services, Seed Winnipeg, and the Exchange Group, along with many other helpers, have worked together to create a day-long expo where you can receive information on how to navigate this new windfall, for lack of a better word. It'll be January 21st, 2025, from 12:30 to 7 p.m. at Sergeant Tommy Prince Recreation Center, 90 Sinclair Street. The event highlights include teachings from lived experts and fellow alumni of care, information about the class action settlement, workshops on how to handle sudden wealth and lump sum payments, ideas for investing in personal growth and wellness and preventing risks and vulnerabilities, question and answer time with the legal team handling the settlements, and community resources forum, including financial resources, mental health supports, and education, training, and employment opportunities. So to participate or for more information, call 204-997-0262 or email sperez@macp.ca. And of course, that's a lot of phone numbers and emails. It's on the Voices Instagram or on the Futures Forward Instagram. It's all over the internet. You will see the post there, and you'll be able to let them know that you're coming. I believe the layout will be, that the keynote and the information sessions will be held twice. So if you can make it to the early session in the afternoon or the late session in the evening, either way, you will be able to access all of this valuable information in order to be able to navigate what to do with this sudden increase in your income.
Yes, and if you are going to be a recipient of the SCSA settlement, definitely utilize this expo. I know it's extremely exciting to know you may be receiving a large lump sum of money, but through all the excitement, we can sometimes forget to plan ahead and budget and just remember it's easy to spend a lot of money really quickly. Mm-hmm. So just make sure, you're utilizing it, check it out, see what everyone has to say. Be thinking about financial advisors, be thinking about opening up certain savings accounts that are going to help expand your money, make it grow, so that, you know, this money isn't just one exciting year, it's an exciting rest of your life.
Yeah.
All right, and then that'll take us into child welfare in the news.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we going to be talking about? The CSA.
Yeah.
All right, so CTV News just published an article on December 6th. First checks from children's special allowance settlement given out. So the Manitoba Métis Federation has started to hand out checks from the children's special allowance class action lawsuit. The settlement is in regards to a lawsuit over the government clawing back federal benefit payments to children in the child welfare system. The children's special allowance goes out to agencies that care for children and mirrors the monthly Canada child benefit checks. For us, this particular day is really a time of justice. They've already suffered enough. Let's understand that, said MMF President David Chartrand. Under the settlement, Manitoba will pay $84,800,000 to the plaintiffs. A portion of the funds will also be used for programs and services to be delivered as part of the distribution. Chartrand noted that 4,572 people will now be receiving the money that was taken from them. It's a change maker for them, he said. It's definitely an opportunity to get that head start that they needed. More information on check distribution will be available to class action members in the coming weeks. Class action members have until February 21st, 2037 to claim the compensation. I do also want to plug in the website csasettlement.com. If you check that out, it does state that claim registration period will begin on January 6th, 2025, and will stay open for 2 years. So there have been, we work in youth support, so I've definitely been getting a few questions regarding the CSA.
Mm-hmm. Lots of questions coming in.
Yes, and some checks were distributed already, but let's stick to what the website is telling us. Let's wait for the claim registration to be opened. Just know that if you were in care of Métis Child and Family Services, they know. Give them that, just take that time, make that claim. You can come to us, we're here to help, but we may not have all the answers right away. I think that winds up the child welfare in the news.
Yeah, but like just to add on to what you're saying, there have been, I know Voices has been receiving questions almost daily about the children's special allowance and how to get more information and when will my, and how much money will be eligible for. It's lots of really great questions, but unfortunately, Voices, a lot of frontline folks, they don't have the answers. The best thing to do would be to visit that CSA settlement website. Is that csasettlement.ca?
CSASettlement.com.
.com.
It should be the first one that pops up.
Yeah. You go on there, you put in your information. They will send you information every time there's an update. And I would think that by registering with them, if you, for some reason you're the agencies that you were under the care of, if they don't have your information, then that will be your prompt to, like, okay, now's the time to go make sure they have your information.
Yes.
Métis has been on the ball on that.
Métis has been great. We are still getting some, there's still some phone calls, but I would just advise get in contact with your old worker if you can, get them to send you the dates you were in care so that you have that ready. I know, unfortunately, some of us don't even know how to get a hold of our workers, or we don't know the numbers. Find someone at the agency, do some digging, just ask around. Your information will be somewhere.
Mm-hmm. And for everyone who wasn't in Métis, so if you were in the Northern Authority, Southern Authority, or the General Authority, or I suppose now with PEGWIS, excuse me, then I would definitely recommend you reach out to the prior contact office, which I believe might be specifically run by the General Authority, but it still doesn't hurt to just call them or send them a letter with your information just saying, I'm not sure who I was in care with. Can you guys help me find that information? And the folks at Voices can definitely help you put that letter together and send it out to get some answers.
Yes, and I also do just quickly want to add, given the Canada Post strike, make sure that you're providing your email to anyone that you're communicating with regarding information with the CSA.
Yeah, it will be a challenge, or I shouldn't say it'll be a challenge. It's a challenge for me because I don't know math, but I'm trusting that, you know, the legal folks or whoever is doing the math knows how to calculate how much you are entitled to, and they're not going to cheat you out of your money. The whole point of the CSA settlement is to give you money that you were cheated out of.
Exactly.
So if you have a predatory person, whether it's a predatory lawyer or someone representing themselves as a lawyer, but they have strings attached saying, oh, I'll help you get your money if you pay me a percentage of how much you're getting, the answer is outright no. There are no strings attached to this money. You are going to be getting back the CSA money you're entitled to, the interest from that CSA disbursement, and however they calculate the damages.
Mm-hmm.
No one is taking that money from you. So if someone offers to get it for you if you pay them, the answer is heck no. No, no, no.
Yes. Yeah, no, just be patient. Go through the process that is stated either in letters received or emails, and trust that everything is going to work out with that.
And one final just thing to bear in mind, for some of the folks who have received their disbursement already, and it was mentioned in September when they had court, you will not be receiving your entire disbursement at once. So I'm just going to put a number out there. You may be qualified to receive $40,000. They will give you half, okay? And then I think in a year or maybe even 2 years, you will receive the other half. And that can be frustrating. Maybe you had big plans for using all of that money at once. You wanted to put it all down on a house or something. Don't be frustrated. Just consider it, you know, a chance to that money is going to sit somewhere. It's going to keep growing and growing in interest. Yes, accumulating interest. Right? So.
Yeah. And sorry, Marie, I don't want to misrepresent what you were saying. I just want to quickly add also, we don't know if it's going to be split directly in half necessarily, but they did say that following a 2-year period, there will be likely a second disbursement. The funds that you receive during your first disbursement, it might even say it in the letter, you should just be aware that 2 years from that point, there'll probably be another one. So I just don't want to quote half because that might be a little confusing because we don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's going amount and et cetera is going to be different. You know, disability is a part of it too for some people.
Yeah.
And if you ever have, you know, questions, then you'll find when you do go make a claim, like there's going to be people that you can talk to that will be helpful, that are trained to answer those questions as well.
Yeah. Wow. Big news for young people from CARE in Manitoba.
Very exciting.
Well, why don't we take a song break to celebrate this momentous occasion? And we have another Manitoba artist, Laith Ross.
Yeah, so Laith Ross blew up on TikTok, actually, with one of their songs. They are from Northern Winnipeg. And this song is To Me. And I just really enjoy them. So I hope you do,
and it's
too.
And it's not To Faith. It's actually called To Me.
Oh, yeah. It's To Me. It's written To Me.
Yeah.
I wish.
You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM.
Stop, I'd be still. If you jump, then I jump down their throat and I go for the kill. When you say leave, I run. You said forgive me, I said you did nothing wrong. 'Cause when you lie, then I lie on your back while you sleep to the sound of a gun. And I know that you know what I mean. So at what point of you knowing are you just controlling me? If I do anything for you, that means you know you could do anything to me. Shells all break and thin ice always caves, and you just shake your head. You put a picture up, and it didn't feel like love. Just a reminder of contractual debt and luck. And I know that you know what I mean. At what point of you knowing are you just controlling me? If I do anything for you, that means you know you could do anything.
Welcome back to System Kids here on CKUW 95.9 FM. My name is Marie. I'm here with Faith, and we are just glad to talk to you about the experiences of young people in and from care and how you, listener who may not have care experience, how you can be a part of the village, just providing support and care, kindness and friendship to young people who are in care or who used to be in care. But now it's time for our main segment, and we are on to part two of our December theme, Good Grief. And we're talking about grief and how actually it can be a good thing.
Yes. So for a quick debrief, last week we were talking about grief itself. And a common thing that happens when someone is grieving is that they do go through stages. So there's five stages: denial, anger, bargaining, depression. Those four.
And missing acceptance.
And acceptance, the final one. Oh, denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. We just want to quickly remind ourselves and everyone that you may not go through these stages in a linear fashion, and you may not go through a stage at all. You may stay in one for a long time. Everyone is different. People are complex. But it is a common theme that these are emotions that come along with grief. So today we're going to dive deeper into these stages, and we're going to start with denial.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, denial. We're going to start with the dictionary definition. I always like to give a dictionary definition because it's a pretty universal, and then we can go into the nuances. So, the dictionary definition is the action of declaring something to be untrue. Denial is a defense mechanism, which has been assumed to be effective in blocking unwanted memories. Universally, people have a strong desire to forget certain experiences, understandably, because of their distressing characteristics. For example, the death of a close relative might bring up emotions that are difficult to confront. So then denial becomes activated as a way to push those uncomfortable feelings away. I was doing a little bit of research on denial, and I found an interesting paper from the National Library of Medicine titled Forgetting Having Denied: The Amnesic Consequences of Denial. What stuck out to me was how the author examined what effect denial might exert onto memory. That was not something that would have ever crossed my mind if I hadn't read this paper. The paper found strong support that denial leads to a special form of forgetting. They conducted two experiments that showed denial did not make people forget certain details, but that they had experienced, but it did make them forget that they had talked about certain details. When I read this, I thought that denial is almost like a barrier to healing, or it could be, in the sense that we go into denial to avoid confrontation of the experience. However, it seems that it doesn't serve us. In fact, denial may play a role in us forgetting talking about the experience, which is what will be most important when it comes to healing. And at least that's an opinion of mine. I do believe that talking about, you know, when whenever someone is ready for it, just externalizing words, if there was a trauma or an experience or the loss of someone, that plays a part in healing, because otherwise it's just brewing around in our brains. So feeling our emotions, which is what will be the most important comes to healing, feeling our emotions to heal ourselves. Denial can feel like a protective barrier that we may not even be aware of. I find denial a very, very interesting emotion, and I really, like, I was getting in tune with myself. I'm like, man, what am I in denial of right now? I must be in denial of something right now. And not necessarily as of right now, but I'll share an experience of when I have had pretty strong feelings of denial was when I was in my early 20s, and drinking and partying was super cool, and that was the scene, and that's I seeked the popularity through that. And as an accumulation of events happened in my life, I was leaning onto drinking as a coping mechanism. And I will say I was in denial of that being a coping mechanism for a long time, because of how socially accepted drinking is, that you can be, you know, internally struggling pretty badly, but you're going out and to a club and you're partying and drinking and you have a happy face on, and even you're lying to yourself most of the time thinking I'm having fun right now. But what the alcohol is doing is just helping you run away from what you have to deal with, right?
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that, because it can be a hard place to get to when you realize, oh, actually the truth is.
Right? That's right.
A different, or my experience with denial that I can remember really clearly was when my mom passed away. So I was 10, and we were staying at my grandfather's for the weekend. It was summer. It was August. And my stepfather called my grandpa's house to tell him the news, and my grandfather hung up the phone, and he didn't even, I don't think he turned to me and my sister. He just kind of, and I can understand now as an adult, it was a lot for him too, but he just set it to the wall, and then he left the room. He's like, your mother's dead. And then he left. And I remember being like, no, she's not. Emmanuel lies. That's my stepfather. Sorry. Emmanuel lies. She's not dead. Nope. And I just would not accept that as a truth for a long time. So, yeah, denial, like your paper said, it can be considered a protective factor in that moment. You don't want to fully absorb the truth of what's happening, but just like anything, at some point you need to let it go and accept the truth. Otherwise, I think it would, I don't know if you found this as well in your research, but I think if you stay in that state of denial for too long, it can probably turn into some pretty serious mental health issues, hey?
Absolutely. We may touch on that, on how denial can hurt us, but it's one of those things, you know, they say the truth will set you free. Mm-hmm. And if you're holding on to a narrative that isn't quite accurate of what is going on, you're going to be doing yourself a disservice, because you're not going to be able to heal in the reality, if that makes sense, because mm-hmm. you're going to be telling yourself a story.
Right, the story you start telling yourself.
Exactly, yeah. And that's all we are, is just the stories we tell ourselves.
Yeah, and if we're telling ourselves untruths, but then we start to believe them, oh.
Then there can be a lot of rewinding mm-hmm. and correcting of what the story is. All right, so we'll just go over some common triggers for denial. Mm-hmm. Abuse, mental, emotional, physical, verbal, sexual, financial, or other types of abuse. Alcohol in excess or other substance use or substance use disorder. Lifestyle or family issues. Medical diagnosis. Mental health issues. Politics. Smoking. Unhealthy weight gain. And loss of a loved one. Let's talk about how can denial help us. As we talk about it being this, you know, kind of villain of an emotion, mm-hmm. it can't all be bad. It's a feeling that we feel. It's got to mm-hmm. be a reason, right?
It's part of the whole spectrum of emotions that we were given.
That's right, and you can't run from it. So denial can shield us from difficult emotions. The author of the paper says that it might be helpful in the short term and provide relief to people who don't have the bandwidth or ability to face a problem. I like this. When I first read it, I was a little bit confused with how does this information make me feel better about it? Mm-hmm. But it makes a lot of sense, because if you are receiving information about something that is going to cause a series of events that could be harmful, if you were to just accept it at face value, I can understand why being in denial while you process it can actually be a helpful tool that mm-hmm. is emotionally applied. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about how can denial hurt us. So in dangerous or unhealthy situations, denial can hurt us. For example, keeping our eyes shut about the realities of a physical or mental illness can lead to serious health consequences. Mm-hmm. Denial can also hurt us when it involves addiction or abuse. Mm-hmm. Those problems affect everyone in a family and can lead to unhealthy patterns that get passed down from one generation to the next. We know the harms of addictions. And lastly, spotting behavior patterns that suggest denial. So some people in denial may often exhibit certain behaviors. And this is just good to know. If you yourself are maybe grieving and you're not sure what stage you're in, these are some patterns and signs. Or if someone that you love may be grieving and you're not quite sure what stage they're in right now. Mm-hmm. So someone in denial might minimize or justify problems, issues, or unhealthy behaviors, avoid thinking or talking about the problems, avoid taking responsibility for unhealthy behaviors, blame them on something else, just a complete refusal to talk about certain issues, and it could be getting defensive when the subject gets brought up. Completely context-based, right? Because if it's denial within oneself over their own behaviors, I can see getting defensive. But if the denial is over the loss of a loved one, not necessarily going to be getting like defensive over that. What do you think? Do you think?
Maybe it depends on what kind of loss, right?
Yes.
Because we talked about there's common... I think it was uncomplicated loss, where it's very obvious someone passed away. But then there's that ambiguous loss where you're not entirely sure. Maybe someone ran away or went missing, or just a relationship that got ghosted. And so there's always a little bit of unbelief as to what is happening, what happened, how did we get here?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. No, that makes sense. And we'll just wind up denial with how to move toward meaningful change. Dealing with denial means first recognizing that it is occurring, which can be challenging for anyone because it is denial, and then addressing the underlying issue that's causing it. If you recognize denial in yourself, you can reach out for help, talk to someone close to you, or get an outside opinion from a therapist, spiritual counselor, doctor, hotline number. In time, you can learn to face your fears or concerns and develop a concrete plan to change. Often when we talk about ways to get support with the emotions that come with grieving, every time it's going to say, therapist, hotline number, talking to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Just talking about the experience of what you're going through, someone that you trust, someone that you're safe with. And I can understand that sometimes there's the initial thought of, well, what's that going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just, it's better than nothing, mm-hmm. right? It is really better than nothing. And because we're human beings and you can't go buy something that'll make everything better, it just seems to be the requirement that talking to another human being is what ends up healing us.
Mm-hmm. And like we mentioned last week, talking to your friends, people you trust, really important, but just recognize that sometimes they won't have all the answers, but there are really nice people who were trained and who paid big bucks to learn how to support you through this. They are called therapists. It's not a bad word. Check them out. If your friends and the people who care about you have kind of tapped out, they care about you, but there's nothing they can really do to help, it is okay, and it is a good thing to reach out to a therapist to help you walk through what you're feeling.
And don't knock it till you try it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, therapy will always be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I guess that takes us into our third song.
Yeah, our last song for the night. We are going to be listening to Misery by Two Crows for Comfort, and they are another Manitoba crew.
Yeah, so, Southern Manitoba.
All right, here you are on System Kids, CKUW 95.9 FM.
The misery. Do you miss the misery? My company. Do you miss the misery? Do you miss the misery? My company. Do you miss? Do you miss? Unmatched rays in the summertime. Sally Witty prize in the summertime. Go with the birds in the summertime.
Not as close as we used to be. A thousand miles. Oh,
Welcome back. You're listening to System Kids on CKUW 95.9 FM. We are talking about good grief and how grief is a healthy, normal emotion that we all go through. And as a youth and care community, we often feel it pretty strongly at this time of year when, you know, there's lots of reasons to be joyful and warm and cuddly. There's also a lot of reasons to feel just the weight of grief. So we're going through the five stages of grief, but today we are specifically focusing, or we just finished focusing on denial, and now we're going to spend a few minutes focusing on anger.
Oh no. Well, since anger is an intimidating emotion, let's start off with a quote by C. Joy Bell. Anger is like flowing water. There's nothing wrong with it as long as you let it flow. Hate is like stagnant water. Anger that you denied yourself the freedom to feel. Allow yourself to feel anger. Allow your waters to flow. Mm. Be human. I really like that one because I'm like, oh, I don't feel so bad about being angry right now. I'm just flowing.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you try to stop that flow, it'll end up in a flood.
In the stagnant water. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Destructive.
Exactly. And that's just the main point of the emotion anger that we're talking about today is just acknowledging that it is okay to feel it. And it is absolutely normal to feel it, especially over, you know, the loss of someone, just grieving, right? You're likely going to get angry about it. Let that flow. If you're feeling angry after the loss of someone loved, the first thing to note is that all your emotions are normal. Well, anger, rage, hate, blame, resentment, bitterness, and envy and grief can be unpleasant and sometimes even scary. They are normal. There's nothing wrong with you. While it's true that behaviors associated with anger can be out of control or harmful, the anger itself is a natural human emotion. Almost everyone experiences anger at some point. Your anger is often trying to tell you something about the loss as mm-hmm. well as about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there is utility of anger. So it is important to understand that anger is a form of protest. When we don't like something that's happened, especially if we think it's unfair, we naturally get mad. It's built into our biology. Children are often our best teachers about grief. Think of the toddler whose favorite toy is yanked out of their hands. This toddler wants the toy when it's taken. Their instinctive reaction is to scream or cry or hit. When someone loved is taken from you, or you experience another significant life loss, your instinctive reaction may be much the same. In grief, anger is a bit like the numbness and denial we naturally experience right after a loss. In the early days, numbness and denial protected us from the full force of what happened. I like that. That ties right back into the utility of denial as well.
Mm-hmm.
Allowing us to absorb the reality bit by bit. Similarly, after a loss, our anger often protects us from our more helpless, painful feelings like fear and guilt and sadness. And anger kind of has this funny way of projecting mm-hmm. the opposite of what we need, if that makes sense. If someone is angry and they start yelling and throwing stuff around, observers might be like, oh my goodness, they're destructive, they're angry, they're mean, when really that person probably just needs a hug.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that person is feeling such a vulnerable feeling
mm-hmm.
that it actually comes out and it could be destructive. Everyone experiences anger differently. But I always find that very, very interesting how it's observed, but it's as differently than it's felt, if that almost mm-hmm. makes sense. So we can honor and thank our anger for a time. Just as we must work to soften our numbness and denial and grief, we must also work to soften our anger so that we can fully encounter the necessary pain it has done such a good job of guarding us against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to finally get to that place where you no longer need anger to be that barrier between you and the pain that you've been feeling. Because, surprisingly, when you finally can release that anger, not through violence or through destruction, but by just saying all the words and crying all the tears, and if you need to dance it out or punch it out in the air, like, you know, yeah, whatever, you like, it needs to come out of your body. Well, once you release that anger and you can just feel that pain, it's like finally some healing can come in there.
It's a release, mm-hmm, and it's such a powerful release. And as there is, like Marie said, punch in the air and dancing it off, that is such a nice, healthy way to let go of that anger. But let's also just quickly touch on the dangers of anger, mm-hmm, because we don't want to cause harm to ourselves or others if we're angry. So it's important to understand that while anger can feel powerful, active, and even good, it's not meant to be an emotion that your body sustains for a long period of time. We don't want to cause harm to ourselves or others. And evolutionarily, it means to give you a quick burst of energy. When anger is prolonged, on the other hand, it stresses the body, and studies have shown that strong correlations between anger and high blood pressure, stroke, heart disease, etc. Anger can make you sick, and it, over time, if it's held on to, it can lead to death, unfortunately. And another, we know, you know, stress causes high cholesterol and all that too.
Mm-hmm.
So,
because it's your body now trying to protect you from the inside.
From you, right? Yeah, exactly. And that's why it's just important to feel it, let it go, try to come back to a baseline as best as you can. So to conclude the emotion anger and to move forward with reconciling with your grief, just know you absolutely need to express your anger. There is no healing without mourning. As you explore ways to befriend and express your anger, just keep in mind the difference between damaging expression and restorative expression.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for bringing more information about grief to our listeners, to young people in From Care. If you are experiencing grief, it is completely normal. Just remember that it's completely normal, and there are supports to help you go through it. So I just want to give a quick shout out to our family in Ontario who today are mourning the loss of one of their sisters. Excuse me. Alicia Brooks was part of the youth and care community, a former member of the Young People's Advisory Council with the Children's Aid Foundation of Canada. And she was just a lovely soul. And she was lost to gender-based violence last week or early this week. So we just send our love and our condolences out to the Youth and Care Network out in Ontario. And we wish you guys all the best. And to our family here, if you need help, if you need someone to talk to, call the folks at Voices and they can help you connect to resources available in the community.
It was a pleasure speaking to all of you, and we will see you guys next time. Bye.